people carry on oversight of the government.
I hear you. I'm afraid that's it for our time. The hour went very quick. Lieutenant Shine, thank you so much for coming here on the Inside Scoop. That's all, folks. Our time is up. Tune in tomorrow for more of the Inside Scoop.
This is the Quality News Network. A half-point cut in the federal interest rate caused stocks to soar on Wall Street today. It was the first time members of the Federal Reserve Board have cut the interest rate in more than 4 years. We'll have the latest numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business segment. The number of foreclosure filings reported in the U.S. last month more than doubled compared to August 2006. Foreclosures also increased 36% from July. The highest foreclosure rates in the country are in Nevada, California, and Florida. Over 8 million people are being evacuated from Shanghai as Typhoon Wipa is packing winds of 165 miles per hour. Waves up to 36 feet high are pounding the northwest toward the Chinese mainland. In Baghdad, 21 people were killed and another 63 wounded today in a series of attacks throughout the nation's capital. The State Department's Inspector General is under investigation by a congressional committee. Howard Krongard is being scrutinized for possible security lapses at the embassy in Baghdad. The Inspector General may have also been aware of illegal weapons smuggling into Iraq by the security firm Blackwater. Some of the equipment that detects dangerous wind shear was not working at the time of Sunday's deadly plane crash in Phuket at the airport there. The Thai jet skidded off the runway while trying to land in driving wind and rain. 89 people were killed. Driving in the U.S. or drivers in the U.S. wasted almost an entire work week each year sitting in traffic on the way to and from their jobs. According to the Texas Traffic Institute, American drivers wasted 2.9 billion gallons of fuel. Together with lost time and traffic delays, it cost the nation over $78 billion. A federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit by California's attorney general asking for hundreds of millions of dollars from automakers for damaging the environment with greenhouse gases. The federal judge said the issue should be resolved politically. Peruvian authorities say people living in a remote village became ill after a meteorite fell to earth nearby. Police officers sent to assist Saturday also became sick and had to be hospitalized. The meteorite left a 100-foot-wide crater. Scientists are investigated. Science and business news are coming up next. This is QNN.
Have you ever found yourself swatting at a fly no one else sees? Chances are you're seeing what we commonly call a floater. Many people have them and have had them for a while. Floaters are condensed proteins located in the gel-like part of our eyes called the vitreous. As we age, this gel becomes more liquefied, and so whatever debris was once trapped inside is now freer to float around. They are typically harmless, but you should check with your eye doctor if you notice new floaters, especially if they appear after a flash of light, or if you should notice a curtaining effect of your side vision. Otherwise, that squiggly critter you see, especially when you look at a blue sky or a white background, is probably with you for life and should simply be ignored. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
Dole has recalled some of its packaged salads because of contamination with E. coli. The packaged lettuce is called Dole Heart's Delight. The company says there are no reports yet of illness as a result of consuming the greens. According to a study in the New England Journal of Medicine, an osteoporosis drug shows a reduction in deaths, and it also prevented new fractures in elderly patients. The study was funded by Novartis, the maker of the drug Zometa. The Food and Drug Administration is warning the Hain Celestial Group about a potentially unsafe herb used to sweeten tea. A South American herb called stevia may be dangerous to blood sugar, reproductive, cardiovascular, and renal systems. On average, the highest per capita spending on health care last year was in Washington, D.C. and the nation's Northeast. Wholesale prices fell in August by the largest amount in almost a year. It's the fourth straight month that food costs have declined. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $81.51 a barrel. Gold is unchanged at $723. And on Wall Street today, the Dow was up 336 points at 13,739. The Nasdaq was up 70 points. And the S&P 500 was up 43 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Okay, don't you,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, it's not exactly Bob. It is Bruce. Good evening. Good evening and welcome to Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is Bruce Burt. So I'm sitting in for Bob tonight. I'm sitting in for Bob all this week, except for, I think, Friday. But it's good to be back on the air with you this wonderful, wonderful fall, early fall evening here in Head On Radio Network land. I have not been on the air for a while. I have been doing a lot of other things, not the least of which is taking advantage of my own individual political activism in a lot of different areas. But Bob asked me to sit in for him tonight. Bob's on his way to Alabama this evening, and he's going to take care of some personal business, and we wish him the best of luck in his endeavors this evening, as well as you know, everything that he has to do down there and coming back to be on the air with you guys, his favorite family. That's right, his listeners. So he's asked me. It was a really interesting conversation, actually. I got this email from Bob, and Bob said to me, Bruce, are you ready to get back on the air? Are you ready to get back in the driver's seat and carry the show for a couple of nights? And I said, I don't know. Maybe. Well, let's suffice it to say that that did indeed happen, and I am at the helm tonight of Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid, of course, without Bob Kincaid. There's been a lot of stuff going on around the world since I was back, since I was last on the air. I had a show here on the network many, many moons ago, and let the show go to take care of some personal things in December of 2006. What I have come to realize is that I absolutely love doing talk radio, and I have missed it tremendously, and I've missed all of the wonderful folks that I used to that used to call into the show and have conversations with me here on this Conversation Radio Network. And so it seemed to me to be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to get back on the air and get my feet wet again and see whether or not I want to get back into doing this kind of stuff. And so far, so good. Now, you know, there have been so many things have happened since I was on the air last. We've had just all the stuff that's happened with the implosion of the Bush regime. The Bush regime is now in tatters and is fizzling as we speak. Somebody took a big bottle of seltzer water and sprayed it all over the White House, and apparently the rats are leaving the sinking ship. Rats like Karl Rove, Attorney General Alberto El Torturador Gonzalez, you know, all of these people who were the architects, if you will, of the Bush regime's criminal actions. And at this point, they're leaving because they know that they, too, could be indicted. Wow, there's a Democratic Congress in place, and you know what might happen? We might be in trouble. We might actually be in trouble. We might actually have to go to dare I say it, Dale. Well, you know, one can only hope. It appears that the Senate Judiciary Committee and the House Judiciary Committee both aren't being too excited with the prospects of impeaching this president. The cacophony of voices around the nation has become louder and louder and louder and louder. And as a matter of fact, last weekend there was an anti-war rally in D.C. The majority of whose participants carried impeached Bush banners, and over 150 people were arrested at the Capitol because they wanted to lay down their lives to stop the war. I remember being in a peace rally, in an anti-war rally in Washington, D.C. in 2005, which I covered for the radio show that I was doing at the time, which was All Things Reconsidered. It was a Sunday night show here on this network. And at that time, I remember watching these protesters and watching, they're not protesters, you know, they're demonstrators, you know. They're availing themselves of their constitutional right to free speech and to free assembly. But these folks, you know, nobody was arrested that day. Okay. There was maybe 150,000, 200,000 people there that day, and nobody was arrested. Well, now there were 7,000 people, and 150 people got arrested. That tells me that America is getting a little bit angry at continuing to shed out American lives for a war that is a folly. I will say that again. For a war that is a folly. A war that was created directly by billionaires for billionaires. Let's suck all the oil out of the ground. Let's steal these Iraqis and their country dry. Let's create an endless war for endless peace. The Bush administration has continued to do just that. They are now setting their sights on Iran. We all know this as well. There have been secret plans drawn up. There have been commandos going into Iran there probably for the last year and a half. There have been a tremendous amount of activity around Iran with regard to creating a new base there on the western side of or eastern side of Iraq next to Iran. So it would appear, to all observations anyway, that the Bush administration is gearing up for another war, one in which make the American people scared to change parties in mid-war. We don't want to change the horse in midstream. We want to keep on riding that horse till that sucker. Excuse me. I don't get too carried away. We don't want to change that horse in midstream. We don't want to, you know, we want to ride that sucker until we've milked it for everything we can. That's the motto of the Bush administration. Lie, cheat, steal. Lie, cheat, steal some more, and then if that fails, well, just lie, cheat, and steal some more after that. What I have found in my reading and in some of the writings that I've been doing, by the way, I do have a blog on the Head On Radio Network. If you go there, it's listed on the front page, and my focus is commenting on new stories, and I wrote a recent piece called Working People, in which I'm going to be doing a series of pieces on the labor movement in the United States and where it has been, where it came, you know, the rise of the labor union movement, and where we are today with it, because the labor union movement right now is at its lowest point in American history. Not that it needs to be, but it is at this point because of the Republican conservative dominated form of government, which, you know, resembles somewhat of a monarchy. Getting back to the blog there, but you can go check that out at headonradionetwork.com. Now, I'm going to give you some quick advice. Unsolicited, perhaps, but quick advice nonetheless. This is listener-supported radio. There is not a single person on this network who gets paid a dime to do what they do here. I, myself, did a show here for well over a year. John Fox, Mark Levine, Guy James, Dr. Bill O'Brien, Joe Vecchio, Tony Seaton, Bob Kincaid, Peter Godbold, all these folks do shows here on the Head On Radio Network free of charge because they believe in democracy. They believe in bringing democracy to the airwaves. See, there doesn't seem to be much of a democracy left in our form of government. He who has the most money wins. However, on this network, that's not the case. Here on this network, what we have is something called conversation radio of, by, and for the people. Myself, I'm an electrician by trade. I do a lot of different things, primarily work in construction. Big fan of the labor union, big fan of the working man. All of us have our own individual day jobs that we do to support ourselves, and then we do radio. And we do radio because we believe that this is the proper venue to try to bring about change. We don't teach any money to do that. But we can do radio. We can create a voice for you to vent your frustrations, to share your struggles and your fears about this nation, to share your hopes about where we could be. And it is, again, as I said, listener-supported. That means that, not only do you support it by listening, and not only do you support it by calling into the programming and into the various programs that we have and venting your opinions and your voice, but it's also important to remember that, the bill's got to be paid. So if you are feeling especially generous tonight and you like what you're hearing so far and you want to hear some more, go straight to the homepage of the Head On Radio Network and you'll see a little button there where you can donate a few bucks. Or subscribe for a recurring donation. I mean, the biggest thing to remember about this, folks, isn't that I'm making a pitch for you to give money. The biggest thing to remember about this is that when you do that, you take ownership. When you do that, you are saying, I believe in you, and I believe that this concept can work. So if you believe in it, if you listen to it every night and you believe in it, drop a dime or two. I'm sure that Bob and the folks at the Head On Radio Network Work who are now working hard to bring you quality programming, we're most grateful to see that kind of support, belief. How much money is spent in Iraq every day? I don't know, but I think it's something like $2 billion a week. How much money is being spent by the major political party right now to thwart growing American sentiment against the war and against the thievery that's going on in Iraq? Probably billions of dollars there too, trying to shape news every day. Well, they can't shape this news because we won't take their money, but we will take yours. Oh, my goodness. It's great to be back on the air. I'm going to get over to some phone calls probably in the after we take our first break. But I just wanted to let you know, folks, that this form of radio belongs to you, So if you want to get in on the program tonight, you can do that by dialing 304-658-5453. If you can't pick up the dime for the telephone call yourself, you can dial our toll-free number, which is 1-877, the number 4, head-on. And it's good to be back with you. This is Bruce Birch sitting in for Bob Kincaid. I'll be right back.
know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of 6 or 7 different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
You're back on with Head On with Bob Kincaid, and this is Bruce Burch. I'm sitting in for Bob tonight. I am flying a little bit blind this evening, as I'm having a little bit of a problem with some you know, it's always software, right? I mean, you know, everywhere you go, you sit down at a computer, you turn the damn thing on, you click on this, you click on that, and all of a sudden, you know, stuff starts blowing up, and it's you know, I'm not going to say a brown word yet. But maybe I will at some point during the program. I'm always famous for uttering at least one. But I was talking earlier before I got into the thing about making sure that you send some money in. We need your donations. Please do send them in. And you know, because if you value this, then just do it. You know, just do the right thing. It's all you got to do is do the right thing. But I was talking about some of the stuff that's been going on with. Funny. You know, he just did nominate this Attorney General Mukasey. I don't even know if that's how you say the damn name, but you know, this guy presided over the trial of the first World Trade Center bombing, and also presided over the early stages of Jose Padilla's case, who, as you know, was convicted of. Nothing that he charged with, but you know, he, you know, the Justice Department denied him a lawyer. This particular judge said, no. You got to give the guy a lawyer. This is America, ladies and gentlemen. It may not seem like it at times, but it is America, and this guy needs a lawyer. So, you know, the conservatives right now, they're sort of in a tizzy. Some of them are in a tizzy because they're thinking this guy might be too leftist for them, meaning that he might have, respect for the Constitution of the United States of America. Well, maybe not. Time will tell. But apparently, the White House has... I was reading this article today and sort of doing a little bit of my own research here before the show. Apparently, the White House has convened a meeting with several conservative think tanks to reassure them that this Mukasey, I can't wait to hear how George Bush says it. This right here, Judge Mukasey. Like this America? Well, it's Mukasey. I'm sure that this, you know, he will come out and, you know, gushing, which he already did announce, you know, that that he was going to nominate this gentleman to the bench, or to the position of Attorney General, excuse me, not to the bench, but maybe it's the bench that we don't want to know about, right? It's quite possible. But apparently this guy, you know, we'll dig up some dirt on him over the next few days and figure out what he's really about. But, you know, all of the senators seem to be happy with him, which gives me reason for pause. Are these the same senators that thought that, you know, that Sammy the grab-ass Alito was a good pick? You know, the same guy who thinks it's okay for 9-year-old girls to be strip-searched? Same guy. Are these the same senators that thought that it was the torture bill that was passed to cover the, you know, do the CYA for all those CIA investigators who waterboarded and otherwise beat, tortured, starved prisoners of war that weren't prisoners of war? That legalized their actions? These are the same senators that did that? Well, if they are, then I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it at all. I'm not even sure if we have any calls in the queue because I'm unable to get to where I can find out. But I think what we're going to go ahead and do is, Agnes, throw the first one at me. If we have any there, I'll wait a second and see if anyone comes online here.
Bruce!
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Good evening. This is Bruce. Who am I speaking
Bruce?
With?
Bruce?
Yes.
Bruce Birch?
Yes, that's me. Hello? Is there someone
Hello?
There? Yeah, can you hear me?
I can't hear you, Bruce. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it sounds like our good friend Jim. Jim, turn up your hearing aid a little bit there, buddy. No, I shouldn't say that. I think we may have a bit of an audio problem. We'll probably work that out. Put Jim, I guess, back on hold, and we'll see if we can't bring that up a little bit. I definitely want to bring to your attention that this is my first foray back into talk radio. We haven't been in quite a while, so bear with me, folks. Bear with me. Because I definitely want to make this experience a good one for you, you know, being as this is my first show back on, and I don't want to... All right, I don't know if we have that audio fixed yet or not, but maybe we can try it and see. All right. I'm not hearing anything. So let's just go forward with something else at this point. I've also been watching with great interest this whole OJ thing. I know nobody wants to talk about it. I know nobody wants to talk about OJ. Okay, I know nobody wants to talk about OJ. But I just wanted to say this. Is the man not a prime candidate for Jerry Springer now? I mean, for real. I mean, let's look at this for a second. OJ Simpson, the man that has more media attention than George Bush himself, or, you know, I mean, the guy's got private investigators following him around for the rest of his life, and he decides he's going to plan a casino heist. I used to have this sound effect called the dumbass whistle. And at this time of the evening, I would probably light that one up because I think that's it's one of those appropriate things. This guy apparently doesn't have any. He's not smart enough to realize that he can't. That he could get away with even taking a leak outside, much less planning a casino heist. But there he goes, and now he's arrested again. And what happens? He's in jail, and somehow I don't think that the little Miami is going to get real upset about this and want to burn cars over it, but it is what it is. So, if you want to get on the show tonight, I'm grasping at straws right now because I'm sort of in a little bit of a tizzy over what's going on with my technical stuff. But if you want to get on the show tonight, I'd love to hear from you, and maybe we can make the sound work at some point. The telephone number to get in on the show is 304-658-5453. You can also dial 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, brucebirch@gmail.com. I'll be right back.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Welcome back to the program. It's 6:35, 35 minutes past the hour here, and 6:35 that would be on the East Coast. That'd probably be 3:35 on the West Coast. Oh my gosh, I got to get back used to doing this, folks. I hope this isn't a train wreck. I'm sure it probably isn't, but you know, it's one of those things that you get back on the air, you kind of stumble a little bit before you can get up and run, you know, standing upright. Just to give you a quick update, the technicians and the engineers of our fantastic family are working hard to try to bring the callers back in and try to figure out what's going on with the with that. So just hang tight. If you're on the line, if you're on hold, just hang tight. We'll get to you ASAP. Something that I think is quite interesting. By the way, this is Head On with Bob Kincaid. I'm not Bob, obviously. I'm Bruce, and it's great to be back with you for the first time in almost a year since I left this network and went on and did some other things non-radio related. But I just wanted to, you know, bring to your attention, I don't know if anyone has read about this or if anyone wants to talk about this a little bit later on, but, you know, Blackwater, the civilian military contractor that has been working in Iraq to, you know, waterboard terrorists for security. They're a security contractor, and I got to just tell you, before I get off into the story, I really, really dislike the terminology that's being used these days to denote certain things. This war has primarily been a war of privatization. It's been a war of privatization, and what do I mean by that? Well, in this war, there has been more civilian contractors doing the work of the military than ever before. One of those contractors is Blackwater USA. I want to read you a story by the Associated Press, or part of a story. But this is in regards to Blackwater. Now, Blackwater, I'm in North Carolina. I don't know where anybody else is, but I'm in North Carolina. I've been based in Greensboro, North Carolina for quite a while. And in this state, it's a very pro-military state. We have a number of military bases, including Fort Bragg and also Camp Lejeune. Here in North Carolina, being in the military, you know, or knowing someone in the military, almost everyone knows someone either in the military or whose family members in the military here. So a, you know, big pro-military state, lots of military people, lots of pride for the troops. There's also a lot of actions in various places in Fayetteville. I mean Fayetteville, North Carolina, where Fort Bragg is. Every year there's an anti-war rally and vigil there. There's also a lot of very strong counter-recruitment efforts in this state to keep youngsters from being duped by unscrupulous recruiters. But I did want to read you this story, and this is not really about the military as much as it is about Blackwater. When a former Navy SEAL launched Blackwater USA in North Carolina's swamplands a decade ago, he initially envisioned building a world-class training facility for those in the business of, yes, that's right, security. But in the years since the September 11th terrorist attacks, the notoriously secretive company found its niche in selling security directly. Blackwater has earned hundreds of millions of dollars fielding what critics contend is essentially a private army in Iraq and in other violent hotspots, where it has often employed aggressive tactics that some call reckless and possibly criminal. Well, now those critics include the Iraqi Interior Ministry, which on Monday said it had revoked Blackwater's license to operate following a chaotic weekend shootout that left 8 civilians dead and 13 injured. Robert Young Pelton, an independent military analyst who spent a month with the Blackwater team in Baghdad while researching his book, License to Kill, said, quote, "They're allowed to shoot to kill. The number one priority is keep the client alive." He went on, "The Blackwater guys are not fools. If they were gunning down people, it was because they felt it was the beginning of an ambush. While it wasn't immediately clear if the Iraqi action against Blackwater was temporary or permanent," well, it appears from what I've read today that it is permanent, If Blackwater is forced to leave Iraq, where it has at least $800 million in government contracts, the privately held company, I'm reading this to you, based at a 7,000-acre compound in tiny Moycock, which is in North Carolina, Moycock, North Carolina, stands to lose a huge piece of its burgeoning business. This company, I don't know about anybody else, but this company makes me feel just a little bit nervous. Just a little bit nervous. I mean, you got a private army in Iraq, you got people who are not bound by the rule of law, as the conservatives like to use when Bill Clinton was president. They're not bound by the rule of law. They're allowed to walk around with semi-automatic weapons and kill whoever the hell they want to, and it's okay. Well, the Iraqis now are starting to assert their own individual interior control of their security. I remember George Bush at one point saying, when they stand up, we'll stand down. Well, it sounds like to me, folks, I could be wrong, and I'm sure you'll let me know if I am, but it sounds like to me that they're beginning to stand up. They're beginning to say, we don't want this kind of security. We don't want a security force in Iraq walking around and killing people just because there's a white guy they're protecting who might be ambushed or they think he might be in danger. You know, I might have a piano fall out of the sky on my head tonight. Could happen. Probably not, but could happen. My point is, with saying that, is that just because there's a presumption of something that may happen doesn't necessarily mean that it will. Now, had Blackwater, you know, and John Fox and I, John Fox, who was, he and I together did a show called Fourth Estate Radio. John Fox and I covered a lot of the abuses that Blackwater and other military contractors did in Iraq. A lot of the ripping off, a lot of the flights of pallets of $100 bills stuffed into duffel bags and handed out to contractors for payment of services. You know, that place has been a consistent drain on our treasury and a consistent drain on, well, you know, our standing. So, you know, the best thing we can do is get the hell out of there. But the first thing we need to do is pull all those individual private contractors out. That's the first thing we need to do. I'm going to go ahead and see, perhaps, possibly, if we might be able to take a phone call. Are we in a place yet where we can do that?
Not as yet, Bruce, but we're working
okay.
on it.
All right, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Agnes.
You're welcome.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was the voice of the lovely Agnes Kincaid, who is sitting in the control booth there in West Virginia. Wonderful, wonderful person. We're trying to get something worked out here, and it's okay because we're going to keep rolling. As we always do. Now, as I was saying earlier, the choice of Mukasey as the Attorney General may help bypass a partisan battle. But the question is why? Why would he not be given the same scrutiny as an ideologue? Mukasey was born in the Bronx, has a reputation as a legal conservative, particularly on national security issues, but he is also seen as generally acceptable to Democrats who see in him an independent streak. For instance, Mukasey partially ruled against the administration in the case of Jose Padilla, an American citizen with alleged ties to Al-Qaeda, who was recently convicted on terrorism charges. Mukasey's ruling overturned the administration's attempt to block Padilla from being able to meet with his lawyers. Let's do some background here. It's important to know a little bit more about this. I mean, these folks, they pick people out of the woodwork. And, wow, how did this person get through? Like Alito. Alito, as some other radio host called him, snuck through made himself made himself look J.C. incarnate, and then turned around and has been one of the most conservative members of the bench. He along with John Roberts, Tony Scalia, and that other guy there, that Clarence Thomas character, have created a very right leaning conservative domination of the court. But we didn't know where he came from, and it was kind of interesting. You know, this was President Bush pandering. This was Mr. Bush pandering to religious conservatives. Well, now, in light of the fact that he his opinion, what's new? 66% of the country dislikes George Bush. 66% of the country says that that George Bush is one of the worst presidents they've ever seen. But you know what? When I was on the air almost 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, the same percentage didn't like George Bush, and then they reelected him. So you tell me whether that makes any difference or not. I don't think it does. But let's talk about Mukasey for a minute. Mukasey was appointed to the federal bench in 1987 by President Ronald Reagan. He was chief judge of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York before he retired in September 2006. This nomination has been widely seen as a conciliatory gesture. Now, why would George Bush try to be conciliatory? He's got political capital now. He's in charge now. Well, no, he's not. He can't swagger as much as he did. He certainly isn't anywhere near as powerful. He doesn't have the backing of the Congress any longer to co-sign his BS. He's not really all that powerful anymore now, is he? Well, maybe what he's trying to do is he's trying to say, okay, look. I'm not going to make you fight over a nominee, but I want you to back off on the lawyer witch hunt. You know, the ones that I fired because of their political beliefs. I want you to stop subpoenaing documents. Subpoenaing. That's just doesn't sound right at all. Anyway, I want you to stop demanding documents that could prove me to be impeachable. I want you to back off, just back off from me, because I just don't know whether I'm going to make it through it again. All my people have left me. They've gone away, and I'm left here with nothing but Darth Cheney. Well, George, that's of your own making. You let people come around you who were complete and utter right-wing ideologues who had ideas but not practical experience in running government. They had ideas about what government should be like. They had ideas about what they thought the right thing to do was for the country, but instead what they put into practice was something completely different. What they put into practice was a dismantling of the confidence of the United States of America. They put in place a dismantling of our goodwill around the world. Whereas other nations, look to the United States to look to us for to lead, to be the leaders of the world, now countries are beginning to say, I don't think so. And that's sad. Because what we are and what we have become is what we left in the 1700s. We've become a colonizing power, and that is unfortunate, because in the history of this nation, we have never wanted to be, at least my best understanding is, we've never wanted to invade a country in advance of an attack. We've always waited for them to actually attack us. Why? Well, because then it's self-defense, and it's justified. And it's a different story. Instead, a preemptive war has created bad will all around the world. And it's very sad. I believe in this country. I believe in the tenets of our Constitution. I believe very strongly in equality among all people. I believe very strongly in democracy and democracy in the workplace. I believe very strongly that in this nation, any man can be elected president or should be able to be elected president. But what we have today and what we have in place and what has been created, if you will, has been something completely different. It's been a government that is self-sustaining. One rich white guy, passing the presidency off to another rich white guy, passing the presidency off to another rich white guy, and then there was the anomaly there, Bill Clinton. So, what's the answer? What's the solution? I'd love to hear from you about what that solution might be. And we'll be able to get this ironed out so I can hear what your solution might be. And maybe some salutations from those of you I hadn't heard from in a while. But I believe there's several solutions. The first solution lies with me. The first solution lies with me. There's a saying in an organization that I belong to that says that if I am not the problem, there is no solution. Well, what that tells me is that I have a responsibility every day to do something to try to combat the evil deeds that these people have created and that they're doing around the world. How can I do that? Very simply. I can get involved in a local political group. I can talk to my neighbors about starting a group. I can try to influence public opinion by sending letters to the editor. I can call into talk radio shows and influence the direction of those shows as much as possible, as much as those conservative guys will let you, by calling into those shows and letting them know that you don't believe in the things that they're uttering. And if I'm not the problem, there is no solution, right? Well, see, at some point we gave up. This is my personal opinion, and that's why I get to have a talk radio show tonight. Maybe I'll upset somebody and they'll call in. I may have a deck full of calls. I don't even know it. If I'm not the problem, there is no solution. And what I do believe very, very strongly is that I have a responsibility on a daily basis to try to create change around me. And I do that on a daily basis. I wear political T-shirts. I talk to people on the job sites. I let them know what I believe about unions. Sometimes that's gotten me fired from jobs. But I did what I believed in. I followed my belief system. Rather than compromising that belief system and shutting my mouth, I opened it up and got consequences as a result sometimes. But you know what? I sparked a conversation. And maybe somewhere down the road, that next person who heard that or had a conversation with me carried that idea forth to another person, who then carried it forth to three other people, or six, or ten. And the next thing you know, you've started a conversation. You've started people thinking about what it really means to be an American. You've started people thinking about what it really means to be free. Are we really free if we can't get on a plane and fly from point A to point B without being, some of us now, on these lists, being strip searched? Are we really free when our communications on various websites are censored because it contains anti-government propaganda? Are we really free when we can't get on the air and talk about what is going on or what we believe about what is going on because it doesn't fit with the ideas of the radio host? All of these are subtle ways in which we limit our own freedom of speech, in which we limit our own freedom of expression. What I would challenge you to do, if you're listening to this radio program, is to, you know, stretch tomorrow. Stretch! I don't mean just stretch your body. Stretch your mind and stretch your ideas just a little bit further. One person at a time. Because after all, if we can't change the ideas, we can't change the minds. If we can't change the directions of the conversations that are happening around us, then we can't change the minds of the people with whom we're speaking. Rush Limbaugh has an audience of, several million a day, I don't know. Bob people. A lot of people swear by him. A lot of people believe that he is the conservative. Let me just try to do a little Rush Limbaugh for her. Here's the conservative ideologue of the 20th century. History will look upon him with favor for swaying the politics in America to the right side. History will also credit him with being a hypocrite for saying that addicts need to go to jail when he himself was using several hundred OxyContin pills a day. And you and I look upon him with disgust, probably. Well, at least I do. Mainly because his ideas about how this country should operate are antiquated and, just plain wrong. We're going to go ahead and take, let's see. Yeah, we're looking at close to the top of the hour. I do want to throw you a couple of other ideas here before I get off into the top of the hour news and all that to keep in mind. And that is that, you know, I believe very strongly in political activism. And I'm one of those people that goes to the war marches. I'm one of those people that believes very strongly in taking an active role in the community, in social areas as well, working with the homeless, working with those who are less fortunate, because, you know, that's my spiritual belief and my political calling. The worldview that I have and that I bring to the table on this network, and I have in the past and will in the future if they let me on past tonight, is that nothing is so broken that it can't be, you know, there's nothing about this country that is so bad that it can't be fixed by what is good. There's nothing that's going on in this country that the Bushes have created, that the Alberto El Torturador Gonzalez's have created, that the Karl Roves have created, that the Dick Cheney's have created, that can't be fixed by the goodness that's in the rest of us. We owe it to ourselves and we owe it to our children. Absolutely. To work harder every day, just to do one more little thing every day to try to offset the negative consequences and the negative things that have happened as a result of policies that have been passed by this administration. And I could reel down a whole list of stuff that they've done over the last 6 years that have hurt American families, that have hurt America's children, that have put more people into poverty than raised up from poverty. Not the least of which is a war that is going to spend us into the poorhouse. I challenge you. Think about that. What can you do? What is your goal? This is Bruce Burr, checking in for Bob Kincaid tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network. We're going to go to the news, and then we'll be back after the top of the hour. Glad to be back with you. I'll be back soon.
Trying hard to This is the Quality News Network. The Federal Reserve lowered its overnight interest rate by half a point to 4.75%, sending the Dow to its biggest gain in 5 years. It's the first time the Feds have cut rates in more than 4 years. Though analysts expected the cut, they thought it would be half what it was. We'll have the market numbers later in the business segment. Banks are expected to lower their prime lending rates. Some already have in light of the drop in the Fed funds rate. Most adjustable rate mortgages and many credit cards tie their rates to the Fed funds rate. Analysts call it a bold move to try and slow some of the bad effects from the credit crunch and to spark some growth over the long term. The number of foreclosure filings reported in the U.S. last month more than doubled compared to August 2006. Foreclosures also increased 36% from July. Over 8 million people are being evacuated from Shanghai as a typhoon is packing winds of 165 miles per hour. Waves up to 36 feet are pounding the northwest toward the Chinese mainland. In Baghdad, 21 people were killed and another 63 wounded in a series of attacks today throughout the nation's capital. A congressional committee will investigate State Department Inspector General Howard Krongard for possible security lapses at the embassy in Baghdad. The committee will also look into whether or not he had knowledge of illegal weapons smuggling into Iraq by the security firm Blackwater. A Thai air traffic controller says the pilot of the airliner that crashed Sunday, killing most of the people on board, had been warned not to try to land when he did. The Indonesian pilot ignored warnings and crashed on Phuket tarmac. 89 of 130 aboard died. Many were tourists. 5 were Americans. A federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit by California's attorney general asking for hundreds of millions of dollars from automakers for damaging the environment with greenhouse gases. The federal judge said the issue should be resolved politically. Peruvian authorities say people living in a remote village became ill after a meteorite fell to earth over the weekend. Police officers sent to assist also became sick and had to be hospitalized. The meteorite left a 100-foot-wide crater. Scientists are investigating today. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up.
Do you know the expression, put on your best face? Never was that suggestion more important, especially in the increasingly fast-paced world of the Internet. The people at Byte Technology are experts in making sure that the hits their clients' websites receive turn into a satisfying visit and more business. Byte gets to the core of every business and brings the heart of the operation to the Internet. Whether you are selling products or services, reaching out for new business, or supplying information to a sector of the business community, it is vital that you attract the right visitors and deliver them what they need quickly and effectively. Byte Technology goes further, providing maintenance updates to keep your site ahead of the curve, ahead of the competition. Assure your company's future. Talk with the team at Byte Technology to learn how you can put on your best internet face. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
Scientists say they've been able to use drugs to reverse the effects of a mutant gene that causes mental retardation in newborns. Researchers have discovered the gene generates retardation by stopping brain cells from communicating with one another. According to a study in the New England Journal of Medicine, an osteoporosis drug, Zometa, shows a reduction in deaths and prevented new hip fractures in elderly patients. The study was funded by Novartis, the drug's maker. The Food and Drug Administration is warning the Hain's Celestial Group about a potentially unsafe herb used to sweeten tea. A South American herb called stevia may be dangerous to blood sugar, reproductive, cardiovascular, and renal systems. On average, the highest per capita spending on health care last year was in Washington, D.C. and the nation's Northeast. Wholesale prices fell in August by the largest amount in almost a year. It's the fourth straight month that food costs have declined. And the Texas Traffic Institute says drivers in the U.S. wasted almost an entire week each year sitting in traffic on the way to and from their jobs. Light sweet crude is trading at $81.51 a barrel. Gold is at $723.70 an ounce. The Dow was up 336 points at 13,739. The NASDAQ was also up 70. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, we seem to be experiencing a little bit of technical trouble, so what we'll do is we'll have a musical interlude. Just like that. Hold on 1 second, and we will be back with your stellar host, Bruce Birch. Bruce, are you there?
I am. I'm back.
Welcome back.
Had a bit of an issue there.
All's good. We're still working on the phone. We're still working on the phone issues, but we'll have them up and running before you know it.
All right. Well, thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. That again, Agnes Kincaid, the hardest working woman in show business. She's working hard there in the studio trying to get our phones back up. Oh gosh, it's you know opening night is never without its glitches. Somebody told me to break a leg or no, somebody told me good luck earlier. That's what happened. Somebody said good luck. You don't do that. Don't say good luck. Say break a leg. Say jump off a building. Say anything, but good luck. We were talking earlier about I sitting in this studio, the makeshift studio I've got created here, was talking about some of the political activism stuff and how important I find that to be. You know, I just want to say this. I was thinking about it over the break, and you know, I don't want to push people to do anything more than they're comfortable with doing. If you are in a job that you could get fired from for engaging in political activism and your income is very important to you and you have a family to feed, you know what? You might not want to get involved in something that's going to be very vocal and where you're going to be involved in getting your picture taken to be in the hometown newspaper, where your boss, who might have voted for George Bush, will see it. But there's other things you can do. You can have a blog. You can go comment on blogs. And you can call into this radio show. A lot of things you can do to try to create change in America. I've been looking at a lot of this other stuff too. You know, this whole presidential race thing, I think, is completely overrated. The reason why I say that is, you know, I look at this, and I think these folks, you know, the only candidate, and I'm going to tell you point blank, there are some people who like Barack Obama, there's some who like Hillary Clinton, there's some who like others in the field. Myself, I'm a fan of John Edwards, mainly because John Edwards is the closest thing to an FDR Democrat that we've got in the field. The other guys, I fear that Barack Obama is going to become another flip-flopper, going to get that label attached to him. I hate to say that, but I'm scared it may happen. Hillary, I don't know why I'm not a big fan of Hillary. I don't know why. I wish I could put my finger on it. I wish I could say to you, this is why I don't like Hillary Clinton. But there's just something there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And you know, and being around a lot of normal everyday folk every day, working in the job sites, on the job sites that I do, and running across people in the grocery store, I hear a lot of that. And I guess this brings me to a point of whether or not we want to nominate the best person for the job or the one who's most electable. And what does that mean, electable? Does it mean that someone is given the mantle by the Democratic Party by saying you meet all this criteria, you are white, you are in with the corporate elite, you have the Wall Street money, you have charisma, you're a guy or a gal that everybody wants to have a beer with, working Americans can relate to you, therefore, you're electable, and we give you the mantle. You carry the party banner this time around. Well, of all the folks that are in the field at this point, the only one that I really have any excitement about is John Edwards. John Edwards has come under fire for taking money that was not that sort of went against what he says he believes in. He immediately gave the money back and challenged other candidates to do the same. You know, he got caught. He got caught red-handed with not putting his money where his mouth was. Unfortunately, most of the other candidates have been so needy of campaign dollars that they've been taking money from whoever will give it to them, and it's gotten them, gotten some, a couple into trouble. I know that Hillary Clinton, for instance, at one point, I think, either was on the board of or was involved with the board of directors of Walmart, which has been a bane in our economy. This company that is unscrupulous, treats its workers like crap, and you know, expects the state to pick up the health care costs for its employees and its employees' children, actually has even in some places handed brochures to employees who weren't full-time employees and said, you can always go apply for food stamps. You can always go get on Medicaid. I don't know what you're complaining about. God Almighty. One might think that you're just, what do you mean you want a living wage? What do you mean you want a living wage? How dare you ask us to step up to the plate and be good corporate citizens of this nation? Since corporate personhood is obviously, you know, the big thing, right? They all, you know, the corporation is a person by itself. It can't, the members of the corporation can't be sued, but the corporation itself can be. You know, they want their employees to work for next to nothing, take advantage of such lovely things as employee discounts. You can buy all your stuff here. And, they, you know, they don't want to take care of their employees. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton was involved somewhat with them. Barack Obama, I swear to you, if I ever get a straight answer out of that man about anything, you know, listening to him talk, I will be the first to admit it, but I haven't yet. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone will call in and tell me that he gave a straight answer on something. I haven't heard it yet. I was reading an article, a column today in the New York Times. Tom Friedman, everybody knows Thomas Friedman. He's that lovable guy there at the New York Times, who has written an article today, who is now saying that George Bush has gone ahead and abdicated his role in this war. A lot of leading columnists, leading think tankers have said that George Bush has now pretty much let go of his responsibility of this war, that he's passed it on to General David Petraeus or Nouri al-Maliki, the prime minister of Iraq, or he's handed it off to the new crop of Democrats. He hasn't taken any kind of responsibility for this war. The only thing that he said is that we're fighting against extremists for freedom. Freedom's on the march. Justice, democracy, freedom, extremists, terrorists, Al-Qaeda, all that stuff. That's all he said. He hasn't said, you know, ladies and gentlemen of America, I think that it's quite possible that our invasion of this country, everybody knows the truth, right? He hasn't said the truth. And the truth is that they didn't think it out. You know, they declared victory over a nation that had no army and has been embroiled there ever since, losing well over 3,000 American lives and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. It is our responsibility to step up the pressure against this failed war. Failed war. Did I say those words together? Oh, that'll put me on a terrorist watch list, probably. That'll also put me on the list of conservative sites. Right before I went off the air last time, I actually made the list of evil liberal talk show hosts because of some of my inflammatory statements on the air.
One of them being that I think George Bush is a war criminal and should be sent to The Hague, where he could, where he should stand trial. And, you know, the worst possible punishment that they have there available to them should, you know, if he's convicted, should be visited upon him for the pain and anguish that he has visited upon American families and Iraqi families and worldwide families for his actions. We are a nation, if nothing else, of people who believe in people taking responsibility. That's what justice is about, right? Not revenge. Justice is not about revenge. Justice is about justice. It's about correcting a wrong. Well, we have a wrong right now. George W. Bush delivered his farewell address on Thursday evening, handing the baton and possibly the next election to the Democrats. Tom Friedman says this. He says, why do I say that? Because in his speech to the nation, the president basically said that on the most important, indeed only, legacy issue left in his presidency, Iraq, there would be no change in policy. That a substantial number of U.S. troops would remain in Iraq beyond my presidency. Therefore, it will be up to his successor to end the war he started. David Rothkopf, visiting scholar at the Carnegie Endowment, referring to General David Petraeus and the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, said, quote, in one fell swoop, George Bush abdicated to Petraeus, Maliki, and the Democrats. Bush left it to Petraeus to handle the war, Maliki to handle our timetable and therefore our checkbook, and the Democrats to ultimately figure out how to end this. The sad thing for the American people is that we have no commander-in-chief anymore. Excuse me, Tom, we never did. We never did have a commander-in-chief. What we had was a commander-in-thief. The sad thing for the American people is that we have no commander-in-chief anymore, framing our real situation and options. The president's description on Thursday of the stakes in Iraq was delusional. An Iraqi ally fighting for freedom against extremists? There are extremists in the Iraqi government, army, and police. There is a civil war on top of tribal, neighborhood, and jihadist wars, fueled not by a single Iraqi quest for freedom, but by differing quests for justice, revenge, and yes, democracy. The only possible self-sustaining outcome in the near term is some sort of radical federalism. We also don't have a commander-in-chief weighing the costs of staying in Iraq indefinitely against America's other interests at home and abroad. When Petraeus honestly answered that he could not say whether pursuing the surge in Iraq would make America safer, he underscored how much the war there has become disconnected from every conceivable worthy goal. Democratization of Iraq, or spreading progressive governance in the Arab Muslim world, and is just about itself and the abstractions of winning or not failing. Tom has a good point there, and he didn't come right out and say it, but I will. What the hell is success in Iraq? What the hell is success in Iraq? Is success in Iraq no more car bombings? Is success in Iraq something else? What is it? What does it look like? Reality is, we don't really know, do we? Because when it boils down to it, there's not much of a difference in what's going on there right now or what was going on there in, let's say, pick a date, September 2002. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to submit to you that we have in our midst, in our leadership in this country, failure and incompetence and perhaps even rising to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. This is Bruce Birch. I'm covering for Bob Kincaid tonight here at the Head On Radio Network, Head On with Bob Kincaid. We're going to try to take some phone calls after a break, I think. If you want to get in on the show tonight, you can dial 1-877, the number 4, head-on. You can also dial in your own nickel, dime, or quarter, whichever you prefer, 304-658-5453. Drop me an email, brucebirch@gmail.com. I'll be right back.
didn't know use it. So I go insane like I always do. And I call your name.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg, we decided they can't be with it, that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg. God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. So now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the decider. I'm the decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Boy, that was a blast from the past. Thanks, Agnes. I really appreciate that promo. The decider. Oh, my goodness. That was great. That was back in the days when John Fox and I did a radio program here on the Hit On Radio Network called Fourth Estate Radio. It was every Saturday night. It was every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. And John and I had a great time on the air. I was kind of hoping that John might be able to join me on air tonight. I don't know if that's going to work or not. Perhaps not. Agnes, have we worked out the sound issues yet?
No, we haven't, Bruce.
Okay.
We are still working away on this.
All right, sweetie. Well, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Everybody gets a good strong dose of Bruce tonight. Maybe tomorrow night I'll just take phone calls and I'll shut the hell up.
But see, you're doing a wonderful job. So it's good, and it's you know, it's getting reacquainted.
It's getting reacquainted. Where did you find that promo, Agnes? That thing was, God, that's old as Methuselah.
Oh, honey, Agnes has her files.
You must have gotten that one out of Pandora's box or something. I don't know. That was, whew,
oh,
that was
not
a good one.
It's not Pandora's, it's Agnes's.
It's Agnes's box.
That's
okay,
it.
We Well, you know, I don't want to interrupt you there in trying to figure out what's happening. Maybe before the end of the show we'll be able to take a couple of calls, but we'll see what happens. I do appreciate your work, though, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you very much, and I'm glad to have you back. And I'll kick the gremlins out. Don't worry.
Yeah, kick those gremlins out of there. Those little evil bastards. I think you know what I'm thinking. It's Republican glitches in the hardware. What's going on, Agnes? Here's what's going on. You know. It was announced that I was going to be on the air, and immediately there was a team of goons, very tiny ones, probably about an inch and a half tall, that were dispatched to your house to climb inside the computer hardware and just start punching buttons in there.
That's true, and sometimes, you know, the glue just doesn't hold together quite well enough, and we just have to re-glue it and go on.
Well, you know, a little duct tape and some chewing gum, some paper clips, and we got a radio station.
That's it, and it works. And I'm amazed and I'm very excited. But I'll let you get back to doing what you do all so well, and I'll go back and climb in my hole.
Well, don't go too deep, huh?
Thank you.
We need you up here on the surface.
Yeah, I'm a deep well miner anyway. So, hold on.
There you go. All right. All right, so that was Agnes informing us as to the status of our telecommunications equipment. Things happen, folks. You know, if we had money like Air America, oh God, did I say that on the air? I guess I did, didn't I? If we had money like some of the other popular, I should say less popular radio stations out there, we would have the ability to, you know, not have to do paper clips and bubble gum and duct tape and paste and whatever else we use to hold this thing together. But it's all good, man. You know why it's all good? Because it's radio of, by, and for the people. And that's where you come in. I just heard through my earpiece that apparently the fundraising drive, which I'm going to give you some numbers. I'm going to give you some numbers now because I want to see those numbers go up during my program. If you really like me being on the air, folks, if you're really interested now, you know, this will tell me right here. If you're really interested in me being on the air and remaining on the air, not necessarily in Bob's slot, but perhaps in another slot somewhere later, earlier, I don't know, filling in, commentary, you name it, something, send in a donation. Go to the homepage of headonradionetwork.com, headonradionetwork.com. Look on the right-hand side of the page. If you're on Internet Explorer, you kind of got to go down to the bottom a little bit. It's down there in the bottom. If you're on Firefox, it'll be up near the top. Or Mozilla, whichever, you know. I don't know, Safari. There's a bunch of other ones that are there. But if you go and you look, you will see a donate button, a PayPal donate button. Now, that donate button will send you to a place where you can donate some of your hard-earned cash to help keep this operation afloat. But we'd love for you to be able to do that. The numbers are thus. Here's the numbers. Since yesterday, or right now, I should say, we are one quarter of the way to our goal of our monthly operating cost here at the network. It takes $2,000 a month to run this baby. That's not even paying any salaries. All that's doing is keeping the lights on and the motors whirring and the various different things going woo 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 woo. You know, the internet site up and running, the streaming capability coming to you, which, you know, you enjoy, by the way, pretty much free of cost, mostly. Except for, you know, the one thing that we would like for you to do is send in a little bit of a donation so that you can help keep us going. We're $500 on our way to $2,000 for monthly cost. You can sign up to do a subscribe. You can subscribe to do a recurring donation every month if you believe in us strongly enough. But here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you. That's right. It's telethon time. Oh, my goodness. That's just crazy. Anyway, if you really want to, you know, if you want to, show the network that you appreciate me being back on the air. If you do, send in an extra $5 or $10. Bump that number up tonight. I'd like to see that thing get off, at least to $600 or $700 tonight, if we can do it. I know myself, I'll probably pop in, $50. We'll see what happens. I'll tell you what I'll do. You know what? I will make that commitment. Oh my goodness, here I go. I'm shooting off my mouth again. I better check with my girlfriend, huh? No, I'm just playing. If we can get that thing up to $700 tonight, I'll kick in an extra 50. If we can kick up the donations tonight to $700 total, I will kick in an extra 50 out of my pocket to keep this radio station going. Now, I'll put a cutoff time on that as of the end of Peter's show tonight. Peter Godbold is following me tonight with his fantastic, amazing show. I love his show. This guy's natural radio. But if we can kick that up between now and 11 p.m. tonight to $700, I'll kick in an extra 50 to make it 750, and then we'll be, two-thirds of the way there almost. Let's see, two-thirds, 750, 1,500, a little over two-thirds our way there. Okay, so let's try to do that if you can. I'd love to see it happen. I think this is entertainment well worth the dollar, as long as I'm not talking about you giving money, right? Okay, all right. The other thing I wanted to do too is announce. Of course, I will be on the air here tomorrow night, as well as Thursday night, and I think more than likely Monday night, covering for Bob. This is a hell of an honor, too, I just want to say, because Bob Kincaid is one of those people that I love dearly. He is a man with great integrity and even better intestinal fortitude, and I love his show. He's always got a great message. He's always on point, and he's always got a great insight into the world of politics, one that is very different. I don't know, it's not very different from mine, but it's fairly different. I always appreciate what he has to say. We are at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour, and I kind of slipped back on the air just to kind of give you an update on that fundraising drive and toss you that challenge. Now, John Fox, I'm sure, will keep me apprised of the numbers as they go up, and hopefully they won't go down. No, but as the numbers as they go up, and when we hit that $700 mark, what we'll do is, if I'm still on the air, I'll let you know. And and we can consider that a night, or you can keep going. You know, the more we get into the coffers, the less you'll hear us talking about it. There you go. It's now 7:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. This is Bruce Birch on the Head On Radio Network. I'm covering for Bob Kincaid tonight. Head On with Bob Kincaid. If you want to get in on the program, at some point the phones will be fixed, and you won't have to wait forever. 304-658-5453 or 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Email me if you want, brucebirch@gmail.com. I'll be right back after this break.
Has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
All right, you're back on the air with Bruce Birch. I am covering for Bob Kincaid tonight here on the Head On Radio Network. Great to be with you this evening. Thoroughly enjoying the opportunity to be on the air with you and to share some of my ideas and opinions and beliefs and stories and, well, and blather with you. I haven't been on the air in a while, and so this is sort of like a reacquainting, if you will, back with the entire process of being on the air again, and it's kind of fun. I always loved it. I always enjoyed getting on the air and talking to you and having a great time. And tonight, although I haven't been able to talk with you, I've been able to talk to you and share with you some things that have been going on. Not only that, but just my take on a lot of this stuff. I'm sure those of you who used to listen to my radio program before might appreciate it. I don't know. Maybe not. I can't hear you. And if you know, I'm in the chat room. I if you want to also, you know, let me just go ahead and give you the whole spiel of the stuff that goes on. All right. If you're listening to this show and you have not yet been to the Head On Radio Network chat room, I do recommend. Yes, how about that word? Recommend. I'd like to recommend that you go check it out. We have mods there that are more than willing to help you try to get in there, and and help you to enjoy your chat experience. If you are in the chat room right now, however, you'll see me there, but I'm not really there because I don't see anything. For some reason, I'm having some trouble with the computer that I'm on, and it'll work itself out. I feel reasonably certain of that. So if you've sent me a private message, and several of you have, if you've sent me a private message, I can't read it. So, it's. I'm sure that the thought is wonderful, and I appreciate the messages, but I can't read them, and right now I actually can't really focus on that because I'm you know, things. But thank you for messaging me. It's good to be back. I'm glad that you're there, and I'm really excited that I get to do this with you for the next couple of days. I've got an article here by Roger Bybee, who is a writer and activist based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's got a blog at breadroses.blogstream.com, and it's called the title of the article is called "All Along the Mississippi: Small Government, Giant Disasters." I wanted to read part of this to you because I think it it really symbolizes the depth to which our government has failed us through the last 6 years. When I say failed us, what I mean by that is that, you know, yes, you know, in this nation, we're a little bit different than, for instance, in Europe. We do believe very strongly that a person should do his or her very level best in trying to achieve success for him or herself. But we also find it to be a very important idea that not only should a person try to achieve a success for him or herself, but those who are unable to do that should also be given at least the basic necessities of life to be able to live in this country somewhat comfortably. The social Darwinists of the conservative right would like for you to believe that giving someone a handout, not a hand up, is morally reprehensible. You're not helping those people. You're breeding dependence on the system. Well, what they want to do is they would like to abolish welfare. They'd like to abolish Medicaid. They'd like to abolish Social Security. They'd like to take everything away from honest Americans because, after all, even though they were the richest country in the world, they don't deserve it. Roger Bybee writes, "From one end of the Mississippi to the other, from the washing away of the levees in New Orleans to the collapse of the I-35 in Minneapolis, the results of starving the public sector's vital functions are becoming apparent. First, governments have been deprived of the revenues that they need to conduct critical work like maintaining bridges, roads, and parks. In Milwaukee, the decline of the once prized park system, the legacy of our early socialist mayor's commitment to public green space for all citizens, is shameful, as ballparks are becoming overgrown, water fountains removed, bathrooms closed, and supervisory staff, vital to preventing the parks from becoming overrun by gangs and driving out families, eliminated. More and more of the remaining resources go to the war in Iraq and the prison industrial complex. The American Society of Civil Engineers estimates that it will take $9.4 billion a year over the next 20 years, $9.4 billion a year over the next 20 years. Okay, give you some perspective, ladies and gentlemen, before I move on. $9.4 billion is roughly what we spend in 5 weeks in Iraq. Okay, roughly. $9.4 billion a year over the next 20 years to restore our bridges to stable and safe condition. But meanwhile, the U.S. occupation of Iraq is consuming at least $8 billion each month. Well, 9.4, I rounded it up to 10, 5 weeks. Further, at both the state and federal levels, corporations and the wealthy have jettisoned their share of the tax burden. In Wisconsin, for example, 62% of corporations with more than $100 million in revenues pay zero in state income taxes. Zero. Well over half of the corporations in Wisconsin with more than $100 million in revenues don't pay any tax at all. No tax. They have completely abdicated their public citizen responsibility. These corporations include such giants as Johnson Controls, Kohl's Department Stores, and SC Johnson. I guess they make Johnson Wax. The Bush tax cuts for those earning $1 million or more have enjoyed tax breaks of about $93,000 a year, while major corporations like the drug companies continue to shield their huge profits from taxes by stashing them, that's right, yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, in offshore tax havens. Because, let me just stop there and give some perspective. the current government is not a government that likes government. Let me say that one more time. The current government is not a government that likes government. At one point, I remember several years ago, I remember calling into a talk radio program and telling the host, this is before I was did a show myself, I remember calling into that show and telling that host that we should not elect people to government who dislike government. And that is the essential problem with the Bushies, with the Gonzaleses, with the Roves, with the Cheneys, with the Republicans when they were running Congress, is that they dislike government. However, they'll get elected to run government into the ground. The horrific tragedy, I'm going back to Roger Bybee's writing, the horrific tragedy in Minneapolis, like the aftermath of Katrina, has triggered a round of deceptive statements by public officials denying any neglect of vital infrastructure. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, he's a Republican, has been maintaining that his administration did the equivalent of a heck of a job in monitoring the state's bridges. Pawlenty insisted that inspections in 2005 and 2006 had found no structural problems with the bridge. But the Minneapolis Star Tribune reported that the bridge was rated as structurally deficient 2 years ago and possibly in need of replacement. The bridge was borderline with a 50 sufficiency rating. If a bridge scores less than 50, it needs to be replaced. You know, I'm telling you all of this to tell you one thing primarily. And that is that we have spent so much time and energy worried about what's going on around the world, worried about sucking the oil out of the ground in Iraq because we didn't want China to get to it, or Russia. Now, that's why we went there, folks. Make no mistake about it. We're not there because of terrorism. We need to fight terrorism in Iraq. Well, you know what? We created the terrorism in Iraq by bombing. Well, I think it was called shock and awe. I don't know. I'm sure those people who were being shocked and awed were terrorized. But we went there to create, to suck the oil out of the ground because we didn't want it to go to the other two of the other large superpowers in the world. There were deals in the works. John Fox and I talked about this several times on the air, I remember very clearly. There were deals in the works with Germany, with Russia, with China for the Iraqi oil to be sold. We couldn't have that because we had to have that oil. Because we are the world's largest consumer of oil and oil-based products. We are the country in the world, you know, the only country in the world that is creating automobiles that get 8 miles to the gallon because we want our flip-down DVD players and we want our air conditioning and we want our comfort and we want our SUVs, even though we're never going to take them out into the outback or whatever it is we call the mountains and get them dirty so we can drive around town. You know, and the reality is that, you know, in this kind of situation, we've spent far more money than you know. We want to talk about investments, right? We want to talk about investments. This is the deal. You invest money in the public sector into building bridges, into building infrastructure. Why? Because it's needed. Because there's always going to be continued growth in population. Because we want to be safe in the interior of our country driving around in cars. We want to feel like, you know, we're getting our money's worth from the taxes that we're spending for the common good. You know, that's for the common good. It's the taxes, make no mistake, taxes are not evil. Taxes are necessary. Taxes are there because we need to be able to support our infrastructure. We don't have companies that are selling us bridges individually. What we have is, we drive on them every day. They belong to the state. The state hires a company to build them, but then we maintain them.
That's an investment in the public good. However, we also have problems with Iraq, and that is an investment in something where we are losing our behind, so to speak. One would think that the money that we poured into that country, we would get some return on the oil, right? I mean, let's just look at this. If George Bush got up on his stage in 2001 following the terrorists, the supposed 9/11, whatever. We're not going to get into a 9/11 debate tonight because I can't hear you. But even if we were, even if I could hear you, you know, even after the events of 9/11, you know, there is the, you know, George Bush got up on stage and said, okay, well, you know what, we've got to go into Iraq now because, Russia and China is going to go after the oil, and we got to go get it, because if we don't go get it, they're going to get it for us, and if they get it before us, it's going to relegate us to second-class citizens in the world. Well, the American people actually bought that. Well, the American people have actually said, okay, sure, fine, go. I don't think so. I think the American people would have said, well, you know what? Maybe it's time for us to tighten our belts up a bit and say, eh, I don't think so. Maybe it's time for us to, you know, act like the rest of the world and build cars that are fuel efficient. Maybe it's time for us to investigate other alternative sources of energy, as John Fox likes to talk about on his radio program here on this network. Maybe it's time for us to investigate realistic alternatives to fossil fuels. Instead, we've invested, God knows, probably a trillion. I have no idea what the number is anymore. I'm sure somebody could tell me. But it's well over $1 trillion in a country that has no security, where there's no end in sight, where we're basically draining the oil fields. Because that's what we're there for. What was the first thing on George Bush's agenda? What did he say in his presidential address before we attacked that country? Do not try to sabotage the oil wells. You will be caught, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because he knew that's what they were going to do. And you know what? Not only did he know that's what they were going to do, but see, that was his goal anyway. He told them up front. He told us up front what he was there for. Yeah, and as a result, you know, we're there, and we're going to be there probably for the next 20 freaking years. Yeah, you thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? The situation, ladies and gentlemen, will not change until Democrats reframe the debate and insist that government can competently and compassionately help ordinary Americans. There was a time in our nation, ladies and gentlemen, when we had leaders in this country who believed strongly that government was not there to wage war. Government was there to bring peace and prosperity to the citizens of this country. Franklin Roosevelt. Hell, I'll even say Eisenhower. Because he was a surprise, wasn't he? Republican. But he warned against the military-industrial complex, which we have today. It doesn't help when a liberal Democrat like Charles Schumer of New York defends the privileged tax status of earning from hedge funds that flow to multi-billionaires. You know, Barack Obama came out today and said that he was supporting an $80 million tax cut. We are not in a position in this country to have a tax cut anytime soon. Get used to the idea that you're going to be paying more in taxes when a Democrat is elected to office. Why? Because a Democrat always comes in and cleans up the messes that the Republican leaves behind. Imagine the elephant taking a crap in your living room. What do you have to do? Well, you can clean it up yourself, or you can hire some people, because it's going to be a lot of stuff over there in the corner. It's not going to be a little pile. You can go over and get your pooper scooper and scrape it up off the floor and, you know, hit a little scrubby-dubby there and it's done. You're talking about an elephant, folks. A Republican elephant. They took a crap in your living room.
It's covered the TV. It's halfway to the roof. You're going to have to hire a cleaning crew to do that. It's going to cost you money to do that. The situation is going on in our government. The Republicans came in and took a crap on the government. So now we're going to have to pay to fix their problems. We're going to have to pay extra taxes to offset the money that's been spent in Iraq. We're going to have to pay extra taxes to try to build our infrastructure again, because we're at that time now. All those roads that they built in the 50s and 60s, the bridges that were built, are becoming decrepit and dangerous. And we got to rebuild our own infrastructure. We've got to try to shore up our economy, even though the Fed cut the interest rate a half a point today and sent stocks soaring. Is that really going to trickle down to you and me, average everyday working Americans? Probably not. So we got to raise the minimum wage. You know, there's a lot of things that we've, and I don't mean to, you know, $10 or $12 an hour. I mean, we need a minimum wage in this country that's $15 an hour. You cannot live off of $10 an hour. All of these things are going to have to happen when a Democrat takes office. And I say when. I don't say if. If the people of this nation elect another Republican after this idiot leaves office, no. Oh, my God. I don't even know what to say. You know, I would just, I'd have to really just like sit down for a minute and take a deep breath and wonder whether or not it's worth staying here. But I probably would conclude that it is, because I'm a fighter. I'm not a runner. Nonetheless, building our infrastructure in this country, creating more wealth, and turning the government back into what it was intended to be, something that fostered prosperity in all the people of this nation, as opposed to something that sucked off the tit there of the public wealth and handed it right to people like Halliburton, needs to happen. And only you and I can make that happen by, you know, electing Democrats to office that are real Democrats, not Democrats in name only, but real Democrats who believe in the tenets of the Democratic Party. This is Bruce Birch. I'm covering for Bob Kincaid tonight. Had a nice little rant there. Hopefully, at some point, we'll have our phones fixed. It may be tomorrow at this point. But if you want to try to get on the air, you can call in and talk to Agnes. She'll tell you whether or not you can get on air. Telephone number is 304-658-5453. Toll-free number is 1-877, the number 4, head on. My email address is bruce@brucebirch.com. We're going to hear some more news, and we'll be back after this break.
This is the Quality News Network. The Federal Reserve lowered its overnight interest rate by half a point to 4.75%, sending the Dow to its biggest gain in 5 years. It's the first time the Feds have cut rates in more than 4 years. Though analysts expected the cut, they thought it would be half what it was. We'll have the market numbers later in the business segment.
Banks are expected to lower their prime lending rate. Some already have, in light of the drop in the Fed funds rate. Most adjustable rate mortgages and many credit cards tie their rates to the Fed funds rate. Analysts call it a bold move to try and slow some of the bad effects from the credit crunch and to spark some growth over the long term. The number of foreclosure filings reported in the U.S. last month more than doubled compared to August 2006. Foreclosures also increased 36% from July. Over 8 million people are being evacuated from Shanghai as a typhoon is packing winds of 165 miles per hour. Waves up to 36 feet are pounding the northwest toward the Chinese mainland. In Baghdad, 21 people were killed and another 63 wounded in a series of attacks today throughout the nation's capital. A congressional committee will investigate State Department Inspector General Howard Krongard for possible security lapses at the embassy in Baghdad. The committee will also look into whether or not he had knowledge of illegal weapons smuggling into Iraq by the security firm Blackwater. A Thai air traffic controller says the pilot of the airliner that crashed Sunday, killing most of the people on board, had been warned not to try to land when he did. The Indonesian pilot ignored warnings and crashed on Phuket tarmac. 89 of 130 aboard died. Many were tourists. 5 were Americans. A federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit by California's attorney general asking for hundreds of millions of dollars from automakers for damaging the environment with greenhouse gases. The federal judge said the issue should be resolved politically. Peruvian authorities say people living in a remote village became ill after a meteorite fell to earth over the weekend. Police officers sent to assist also became sick and had to be hospitalized. The meteorite left a 100-foot-wide crater scientists are investigating today. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up.
Do you know the expression, put on your best face? Never was that suggestion more important, especially in the increasingly fast-paced world of the Internet. The people at Byte Technology are experts in making sure that the hits their clients' websites receive turn into a satisfying visit and more business. Byte gets to the core of every business and brings the heart of the operation to the Internet. Whether you are selling products or services, reaching out for new business, or supplying information to a sector of the business community, it is vital that you attract the right visitors and deliver them what they need quickly and effectively. Byte Technology goes further, providing maintenance updates to keep your site ahead of the curve, ahead of the competition. Assure your company's future. Talk with the team at Byte Technology to learn how you can put on your best internet face. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
Scientists say they've been able to use drugs to reverse the effects of a mutant gene that causes mental retardation in newborns. Researchers have discovered the gene generates retardation by stopping brain cells from communicating with one another. According to a study in the New England Journal of Medicine, an osteoporosis drug, Zometa, shows a reduction in deaths and prevented new hip fractures in elderly patients. The study was funded by Novartis, the drug's maker. The Food and Drug Administration is warning the Hain Celestial Group about a potentially unsafe herb used to sweeten tea. A South American herb called stevia may be dangerous to blood sugar, reproductive, cardiovascular, and renal systems. On average, the highest per capita spending on health care last year was in Washington, D.C. and the nation's Northeast. Wholesale prices fell in August by the largest amount in almost a year. It's the fourth straight month that food costs have declined. And the Texas Traffic Institute says drivers in the U.S. wasted almost an entire week each year sitting in traffic on the way to and from their jobs. Light sweet crude is trading at $81.51 a barrel. Gold is at $723.70 an ounce. The Dow was up 336 points at 13,739. The Nasdaq was also up 70. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, it's not Bob. It's Bruce. That's right. It's the third and final hour here on the Head On with Bob Kincaid radio program. And Bruce Birch sitting in for Bob tonight in the coveted chair, the chairman's chair, if you will, here at the Head On Radio Network. Before I go too much farther in some of my own commentary, I do want to inform all of you that the phones are down for the evening. you can do your primal screams if you feel it necessary, or, you know, whatever you prefer to do. I kind of hate it because I would love to have heard from a lot of you tonight. But, you know, we're going to work hard to try to get that fixed and have that up and running by tomorrow. And but do stay tuned for Peter Godbold's show later after this program. You'll get to hear another wonderful show. I'm absolutely certain of that here on the Head On Radio Network. Wow. I was talking to my producer before we came back on, and she's going to try to let me know what the numbers are as far as the donation goes. Remember, here's the challenge, folks, $700. I want to see that thing go up to $700 tonight. We were at $500 when I announced this about a half an hour ago, and I'd like to see it go up to $700 tonight. And if you can make it go to $700, I'll put in an extra $50 out of my pocket to make it I'm a working guy. I'm a guy that is really trying to make ends meet. I've had a lot of personal stuff. Almost did it again, didn't I? You know, I'm going to put out a brown word before the night's over with. I swear to you, I will. I had a lot of personal stuff going on over the last year or so, a lot of major changes in my life, and was unable to do radio every day voluntarily because I just didn't have the time. I had to devote some time to being to take care of Bruce, right? And we all find ourselves in those positions from time to time. So I haven't been able to do this on the air thing, but it's really wonderful to be back with you. It's just fantastic for me anyway. I don't know if anybody else is getting anything out of it, but I sure am. I was looking through. You know, there's a great newspaper, and this is not a paid advertisement. This is an unpaid advertisement because it's just an amazing paper. This newspaper is called the Progressive Populist. And if you ever get a chance to pick one up on the newsstand or go online, I think, let me look for their web address. Maybe you can check them out there. It's, I don't see it. Maybe it's progressivepopulist.com. Here it is, populist.com, populist.com. Go check them out. It's a pretty interesting newspaper. But there's a lot of great articles in this newspaper. One of which I'm going to share with you right now because I think it's important to take a look at this, and we'll probably take a look at this all the way to the bottom of the hour. We've talked a lot about different things tonight. We talked about the failed war in Iraq. We've talked, and tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, I got some very, very close friends out there in Radio Land who are listening to me, who believe as strongly as I do, about organized labor. And I just want to let you know that tomorrow night is going to be the night that I do the majority of hope, you know, aside from phone calls, God willing that we get them, on organized labor issues. I am a strong proponent in organized labor. I believe very strongly that democracy does not end where the working place begins. Democracy in this nation should be throughout every facet of our society, especially in the area of organized labor. Because if you and I, who are making our, you know, $12, $15, $18 an hour or whatever it is that we make, every day, and we use that money to pay our bills, to help raise our families, to pay our house payments, buy our cars, etc. We can't do battle with companies that have billions of dollars in assets. We need to band together as workers raise our standard of living up. And I'm sure that my good friend Wayne from West Virginia, who believes as much as I do in organized labor, will get on with me tomorrow, hopefully, if we can get the phone call in, and we'll talk about that. Organized labor is absolutely the way that we express our democracy in the workplace. But what I wanted to talk about right now is challenging the obstructionist strategy of the right wing. Senate Minority Trent Lott, Minority Whip Trent Lott, R of Mississippi, you know, the guy who said that he thought that Strom Thurmond had been elected president in 1948, we wouldn't have had all these problems because all them darkies would have been relegated to second-class citizens. He says, quote, the strategy of being obstructionist can work or fail, and so far it's working for us. This is an article by Robert Borosage. Borosage is the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. If you remember, if those of you who know who knew my earlier program, Guy James and I broadcast live from there last year in June, which was the Campaign for America's Future. They have a yearly conference in which they get a lot of the progressives together and talk about setting direction for the rest of the year. I broadcast live from there and interviewed a bunch of great folks, including the vice chair of the Democratic Party, the United States Democratic Party. But Borosage writes, a partisan minority in the U.S. Senate has blocked legislation that would lower the price of prescription drugs for seniors, invest in alternative energy sources while cutting subsidies to oil companies, would require U.S. soldiers to get adequate rest and training at home between tours in Iraq, and would empower employees to join together to form unions at work. Each of these enjoyed the overwhelming support of the American people and majority support in both the House and the Senate. In all, Senate Republicans have launched 43 filibusters in the first 7 months of the Congress, on a pace to triple the previous record. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has brazenly announced that every controversial measure will face a filibuster in the Senate, trampling majority rule to require 60 votes to cut off the filibuster. No longer can reforms be passed on a clean up or down majority vote in the Senate. Oh my God. Okay. Back when the Democrats were the minority party in the Congress, excuse me while I fire up a Camel. Back when the Democrats were the minority party in Congress, we had people come up like, oh, I don't know, John Roberts, Sammy Alito. We had legislation come through that, the torture bill. We let, as Democrats, I don't want to get into us versus them. I'm a registered Democrat. That's my party. Those people are supposed to be representing my interest in the United States. We let those people pass. We gave them a free pass. Why did we give them a free pass? We gave them a free pass because we wanted certain things too. So we tried to negotiate with these people. We tried to work with them. We tried to compromise. We tried to do all these things so that we could get what we wanted. Well, what are they doing now? 43 filibusters in the first 7 months of Congress. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has brazenly announced that every controversial measure will face a filibuster in the Senate, trampling majority rule to require 60 votes to cut off the filibuster. President Bush has vetoed legislation that would require him to end the occupation of Iraq and would allow stem cell research to go forward. Each of these enjoyed overwhelming support from the American people and passed the House and Senate. In all, the president has threatened 31 vetoes between May 1st and August 1st, including a threat to legislation that will extend health care to millions of children, lower interest rates on student loans, and increase monitoring of food and other imports through our nation's ports. Yeah. Right to life, huh? Pro-life, huh? These guys, they're pro-life, right? but they would not extend health care to millions of children. And they certainly wouldn't let those children have lower interest rates on the student loans that would enable them to better themselves and go to college. Why? They want us stupid. They want us stupid and they want us unhealthy. Because if we're unhealthy and we're stupid, then we can only focus on stuff that doesn't require thought, because we'll be, you know, in survival mode. The Republican minority in the Congress is now planning to use the August recess, this is written, I guess, about a month ago, to rail against the do-nothing Congress. Senator John Kyle of Arizona, he's a Republican also, has reportedly distributed talking points about the failure of the Congress to get things done. Already, see, this is the obstructionist strategy, folks. The obstructionist strategy. Already the House and Senate minority leaders are trotting out laugh lines about the post office Congress that does nothing but name post offices and launch divisive witch hunts against the administration. Rosage goes on to write, this is akin to someone mugging the postman and then complaining that the mail isn't delivered on time. In fact, the Bush White House and Republican minority have pursued a systemic and openly admitted strategy of obstruction. Borosage goes on, their purpose is clear. With the public soured on Republican misrule under House Republican leader Tom DeLay, and the public being angry about the Iraq debacle, as I like to call it, Republican support has tanked. So their strategy is to block progress and then indict Democrats for running a do-nothing Congress. They want to block progress and then say, see, these Democrats, aren't doing a damn thing. Conservatives openly gloat about the strategy, as conservative pundit Charles Krauthammer put it on Fox News, quote, I think this will give the Republicans the one opening they are going to have in 2008. Everything is running against the Republicans, but I think that they have a chance if they argue that the Democrats have been in charge and they are the do-nothing Congress. I would say that I would know enough about history. I have done a lot of research and I've done a lot of history work. I would like to say that I know about history to be able to quote to you the year that this strategy worked at one time in the past, but I can't quote it, but I do remember reading about it. So, you know, the reality is this has been done before. Borosage goes on to say, if not exposed and challenged, this brazen strategy will sacrifice popular reforms for partisan political purposes. The public, indeed, wants change. They elected the new Democratic majorities to get us out of the war and to change our course at home. They are and will be increasingly frustrated if nothing happens. And they could well end up blaming the majority for not producing, not understanding that the minority is sabotaging any progress. If this happens, it will only increase gridlock in Washington at a time when the country desperately needs and wants a change of course. The country definitely wants a change, has wanted a change for a long time. The change was not delivered, of course, by Diebold or election or ESNS or Sequoia voting systems. All of those voting systems, of course, were in use in the last election and now have been pretty much thrown out by most of the secretaries of state across the country for being easily hackable systems. But the overwhelming votes against the Republicans in the last cycle put Democratic senators and congressmen in charge. And now Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are being talked about as if they're incapable of getting anything done. Well, you know, there are rules in the Senate. There are rules in the House. There are rules of order, I guess is the best way to put it, that ensure that the minority rights are protected. These rules, the Democrats themselves could have availed themselves of had they chosen to when they were the minority party in Congress, but they chose not to. They chose instead to take the high road and try to compromise. Well, you know, you can't take the high road with the Republicans. It doesn't work, folks. Why? Because Republicans are greedy, self-centered people. That wasn't nice of me to say, was it? Well, you know what? If your party is all about increasing the wealth of the, you know, richest 2% of Americans, that sounds pretty damn greedy to me. If your party is about sucking all the oil out of Iraq, that sounds pretty damn greedy to me. If your party wants to deprive millions of children of health care in favor of tax cuts for the rich, that sounds pretty damn greedy to me. Oh, my God. What are we going to do about this? I'm going to go ahead and take another break. It's 8:21 here on the East Coast of the United States of America, where we're trying to bring democracy back to this country. This is Bruce Birch. I'm in for Bob Kincaid. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us there are things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes. Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're back on the air here on the Head On Radio Network. This is Bruce Birch. I'm sitting in for Bob Kincaid tonight. Head On with Bob Kincaid. Normal slot here is 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network, and he is en route to Alabama. He is either there, or he's still driving, or he's maybe he might be sitting in a rest stop trying to pick us up on Wi-Fi. I don't know. Bob, if you're out there, brother, I hope that I'm doing your show justice, and I certainly hope that you are having a safe journey. I think my understanding is that at some point in the very near future, I'm going to be joined by another host here on the network who is going to come on the air with me at some point. I'm not sure if it's now or if it's later. I really don't know. But you know what? It'll be a surprise. Maybe it'll just shock me out of my chair. Excuse me. I was talking about the obstructionist a few minutes ago about the obstructionist strategy by the Republicans. This strategy by the Republicans is, it's probably going to work. And I hate to say that because I have great faith in the American people and in this self-correcting form of government. But, too often the media that controls the access to information tends to sway the debate one way or the other with language that is specifically designed to do just that. You know, what you can do to try to thwart this obstructionist strategy, you can blog, you can, all the stuff I talked about earlier. You can create a blog, you can join a citizen group, you can try to raise awareness through writing letters to the editor, you can stage town hall meetings to talk about the things that the Republicans are doing what are they doing? They are thwarting progress. Over the course of our nation's history, we have we've gone through dark periods, and we're sort of on the tail end of one, hopefully on the tail end of a dark period, and about to go into a period of light in our nation. We have gone through these periods where society became very repressive in every area. Hate crimes legislation passed, legitimizing hate. Jim Crow laws of the 1900s in the South. We've gone through a lot of dark periods in our nation's history, but overall, we've moved away from institutionalized racism. We've moved away from, gay bashing. We've moved away from a lot of different things that have been, from genocide of the American Indian. All these things, we move toward trying to be better citizens of the world and better citizens of our country. And it's my firm belief that we will continue to move forward in a progressive way, not a conservative way. I think I'm being joined by one of our fellow hosts. Is there someone else on the line with me?
Hello, no? Bruce.
Oh, there he is.
Greetings to you, my friend. Before anybody gets too excited, I am joining Bruce via the streaming link up that the hosts use. I'm afraid our call it Bruce, I feel so bad for you, buddy. It's your first day back in the saddle, and nobody's able to talk to you. I'm just brokenhearted.
I know, but you know what?
The stress.
They're probably more brokenhearted than I am. I love to talk.
Well, you have been so missed. I can't begin to tell you. And so many things have changed since you were, you know, we're listed on iTunes now.
Oh, wow.
It's just amazing. We have people who are listening that aren't even listening. God knows when they'll tune in, but we get all kind of emails from people who podcast. It's just amazing. I have no idea what our numbers are anymore.
Wow, that's great, man. That's fantastic. Peter, tell me something.
Okay.
Anything. No, I'm just...
I do show tunes.
All right. You know, hey, no show tunes. I mean, really. No, but, I was saying earlier, man, that I think your show is fantastic, and I guess one of the things that I wanted to ask you, and maybe I can do this on air, what finally motivated you to have your own show?
Now, isn't that a good question? Oh, my God, the interviewer is on the other foot now. This is going to be rough, I can tell you.
I'm going to give it you raw, baby.
Oh, God in heaven. I don't know. I mean, I was sitting there one night, and it was after, you know, we finally got broadband out here. I guess around May. It's, it's been forever. We've waited. And by the way, my broadband has dropped twice tonight, so if I suddenly poof, it's not the Comrex or anything in the studio. That would be my end dropping, but it's been up now for a while. So anyway, I'm having those issues. But in any case, I had broadband, so I was out of excuses. And I felt like, you know, if I don't actually, Bruce, it was if I don't do it, no, who will? Somebody had to do this, and I was the one that was crazy enough to go, Bob, I want to do a show, and he was crazy enough to say, cool, and then the rest is history. It's strictly confidential, and it's just it's a hoot.
It is a hoot. I have thoroughly enjoyed every time that I'm able to sit down and take a listen. You know, it's refreshing is the deal. It's refreshing it's liberating. That's the word I'm looking for. And after all, isn't that what we're trying to do? Aren't we trying to liberate our spirits? Aren't we trying to liberate and be who we really are, as opposed to, you know, walking around in staid three-piece suits trying to proposition people in airport bathrooms?
I suppose one of the main goals that I purport for the show would be that it's a conduit for communication between the GLBT community and the straight community, because I am fortunate to follow Bob. I have so many, you know, I think I almost have more straight listeners than I do GLBT listeners, because they're slowly finding out about it. You know, we're branching out into more and more realms, and there are a lot of them. I get emails from them. But, we're in the business of shattering stereotypes here, is what we're in the business of doing, and by that I mean Doggy and me, and it's actually quite fun. Some days I still ask myself, what in the hell am I doing? But it's great fun, and going to the fundraising thing. You know, I contribute to the horn too. I mean, and I wouldn't ask, listeners to do anything that I wouldn't do, and that's, regarding supporting the... But, you know, we tried so long to find, you know, various funding, and those avenues are not completely exhausted, but, you know, you get the runaround from these people. It's like, you know, there's so many progressive people out there, you know, that could write a check to fund this network for 10 years and never miss it. And, you know, where are they? You know, it's the $10, $20, $50 people that are keeping this thing running.
The backbone of America. You know, and that's the deal, is that those $10, $20, $50 that comes in at a time, Peter, you know, those folks are probably going to miss that money at some point that week or that month, but they chose to spend it wisely because they believe in democracy.
Well,
that's
they
important.
Do.
And you know what? And I honor that. I totally believe that's just amazing. I mean, you know, that is, you know, nothing. I'll rant for a second, then I'll shut up. But I don't believe that anything that we accomplish as human beings that we value greatly comes to us without sacrifice. I think that with effort, and when we really feel like we've made that sacrifice, we really actually then appreciate what it is that we've accomplished. And I know for damn sure that you have sacrificed many, many hours working on this network. I know that I did for a long time and had to pull back for personal reasons. But, you know, and Bob, oh, my God, Bob and Agnes, look, you know, if we can ever get the monthly expenses at a place where, you know, they're going to, you know, where it's taken care of, my friend, we need to send them to Bermuda.
Bruce, you know, you and I go way back on this network. We go back to the very, very beginning. Do you remember? You were running the Truth Is Us news site, remember?
Oh, yeah.
The link site. And I think at some point I said, you should add Bob Kincaid. And then the next thing I knew, within minutes, you guys, like 2 days literally go by before I find out you guys have formed a network. It was like, what the hell have you done behind my back? You know, it's just amazing. But literally, we go back. You were the first show on the network, I believe, other than Bob, if I'm correct.
That's the truth, man. That was what it, you know. And the cool thing is that it has carried on, and you know, I, like I said, yeah, Peter, I really hated to have to step back because I believe very strongly in this network, and actually in exactly everything that everybody's doing. But you know what? Sometimes you have to take stock where you are, and life presents different challenges. You know, that have to be met, and you know, and I'm at that place now where I'm settling back down again, and have the opportunity, some free time, and you know, I'm probably going to get back involved. I just, you know, it's just one of those things. It truly is a labor of love, and I think that the other part of that too is that the inception of this idea, really, I know you have a very firm belief in God and in the spiritual in spiritual matters, and I do too. And I cannot help but believe that probably this is going to upset some atheists, but that this network was divinely inspired.
I have to agree with you, Bruce, and I've said pretty much the same thing over the course of since I've been live on the thing, the other evening I was going on about, there's just no possible way this could have fallen together as it did with the various skills that were all necessary for everything to work. And how do you do that except divine providence? It's an amazing thing. What has God wrought? And, you know, I'm way past worrying about people getting mad at me. And I have to agree, it's remarkable with John Fox's skill set and you, the silky smooth radio guy, who used to be a singer. Yes, he did, ladies and gentlemen. This man used to sing, and I want to have you on my show so I can find out the true dirt about that one day.
The fact that I used to sing music?
Yes, I want to hear the whole story sometime.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? I'm sure that I can find the time to talk about that. I still sing. I still play music, and I still write music. I've played music since I was about 11 years old, and it's my meditation. People have different ways of settling themselves and you know, and being in touch with, you know, themselves when they feel their best, and that's how I do it. You know, it's a very important thing to me, and you know, maybe one day I'll break out my guitar and burst into song. Of course, after I do my rant and get myself all wound up.
You know, and after, what was your first show was called All Things Considered, or All Things Reconsidered, that's
all
right.
All Things Reconsidered.
Reconsidered. And then I think you eventually changed it to just All Things, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was All Things. And then we left that and went over to a daily show, which I just said, you know what, let's get simpler even than that and just call it the Bruce Birch Radio Program, you know.
Well, you did. And then you and John formed a team and became that strange...
Fourth State Radio.
Fourth State Radio. Oh, my God, all the changes this network has been through over the... And how many years is it? 2 years now?
2 years. Almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in October. Bob had a show. Here's some history. Bob had a show on a little radio station in Beckley, West Virginia, and they replaced Bob. They told Bob he was bringing in more listeners than any of the other conservative hosts combined, and they replaced Bob with a concert. Well, I think with Michael Savage or somebody like that came on. You know, they decided they were going to do a syndicated show instead of having Bob on the air. And you know, primarily the reason was because Bob was well, quite frankly, making everybody mad. You know, this was at a time when patriotism was on the march. There was a lot of fervor around the whole war effort, and people like Bob and myself and you, Peter, and John Fox, you know, we weren't looked at as being exactly, you know, very nice people. You know, people looked at us and, you know, said we don't want to hear what this person has to say. They're you know, it was like the communist witch hunt thing that went on. But you know, Bob left that. He was let go of that station. Ben Birch, no relation to myself, who runs White Rose Society, got with Bob and said, "Hey, Bob, let's set up a way for you to get your program back on the air." And that began the second genesis, the Genesis 2, if you will, of Head On with Bob Kincaid, wherein he started internet streaming. I listened to Bob's show a few times, and I thought he was amazing. Matter of fact, I really, because he speaks my language, Peter. He speaks our language, Peter.
Definitely.
You know, that language. He speaks the language of the populist American, who is you know, I mean, there's many of us Southerners who believe in democracy, who believe in democratic principles, who believe, you know, small d. Of course, the principles that the party has now are suspect. But anyway, you know, he's the guy who speaks for me. Now, you're right. I had this little website where I had some pictures of Martin Luther King up there and some other, you know, people, and tried, you know, did a little bit of blogging and put up a bunch of links to various places. And the neatest thing was that when Bob and I started talking the first time, it was almost like I was talking to somebody that I'd already known for years. Mm-hmm. And we hit it off. And you want to talk about a network getting created out of the blue in short order. You know, John Fox and Bob and myself, I remember us sitting conferencing in some of the older technology. I mean, you know, technology changes so fast these days. Some of the older technology that we were using to do these radio programs. Getting on the phone and talking until the wee hours of the morning about how we could make this thing really work. And that vision has pretty much come to pass, every bit of it. And it's really quite amazing. It's you know, to me, it's something sort of miraculous.
I have to agree. And remember back, you actually had a radio show before ever coming on. Remember, you used to stream a radio show from your home computer, and it would max out like at 25 people or 30. You had like, remember?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, all you had was your basic net connection, so there was a max number of listeners. I forget what it was. And
yep.
And sometimes after your show was over, like you would switch it over so like the ones that didn't have cable could hear like you know, some of the news programs that are off the cable channels. Remember, you would carry the audio. God, well, it was just for 25 friends. Not like it was a commercial. I know. Huge secret.
Viacom is listening, man. They're going to come after me now.
Well, there are no names.
Yeah, I did. You know, I'll say it out loud. I used to, right after the show on Sunday nights, I would stream Bill Maher's show.
Right, yeah, and I was thrilled because I don't have cable out here in the middle of nowhere.
And I would, you know, in other shows, and then I would go into the music stuff. But you know, we had great stuff, the dance party, but the Saturday night dance party. But you know, and I think I'm almost speechless thinking about this stuff because
yeah,
it's been a while since I've really been deeply involved in this network. And. And Bob and I have had a lot of conversations over the last 6-8 months or so, and keeping tabs with each other. And you know, weekly we go check out and see what's going on here on the network, because you know, it wasn't my baby, but it was a baby, and I wanted to see it grow, and it has grown. And
It cannot be killed,
and I'm seriously impressed. You guys, John, I mean, all of the people. I'm scared to even start mentioning names because I'm probably going to miss somebody. You know, the news ninjas, those guys. I remember when we were...
I know, I have the same problem. There's so many of us. I don't know. It's hard. I have to make a list. I don't know it. And I can't, we have shows that I don't even get to listen to. They're in the middle of my work day. I don't know who's on even on the air anymore.
Yeah.
But a lot of people.
There are a lot of people. And what do you have going on in your show tonight?
Well, I had a guest, and I called him to reschedule because I can't do a guest this evening because of the situation with the phone system. And he's just fabulous. He is a fellow who's got an extensive background in classical music, and he's written film scores. He's, he's written tracks for PBS, like for Nova, you know, the audio for Nova, the audio for, it just goes. In other words, I could talk 20 minutes and still not read this man's resume. He has done some fantastic Bush remixes of taking Bush's voice and remixing it in with the beat and pulling, and it's just fabulous stuff. And he even goes all the way back to Ronald Reagan. He's got like a Ronald Reagan track from way back in the day. Yes, the man is just incredible. And in addition to all his classical music, some of his classical music has been published. But unfortunately, I cannot have him this evening, but he was very gracious, and we'll reschedule for the evening. So here's what I have this evening. I have the news that, you know, realize I budgeted time for my guest. So I have a certain amount of news, and when it runs out, I'm doing show tunes.
Yay!
What can I tell you? You know, that's just the nature of this network.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing your show after this one tonight, and I hope that somehow, you know, I hope that it was entertaining enough. I kind of hate that I wasn't able to take phone calls and listen, you know, hear some of the old voices that used to call in and have a good time with us. But I'm sure that before the end of the week is over, we'll be able to get those folks on board. But Peter, man, it's been absolutely fantastic to have a conversation with you on air.
I'm so glad Agnes was able to hook it up through software. We're not running through the Comrex thing. It's all through magic. It's magic software. But anyway, it worked. And I'm glad I got a chance. Yeah, to talk to you too. Oh yeah, one more thing. Remember way back when we didn't even have a chat room. We were in an apartment.
Oh yeah, we used Tommy's chat.
That's right, we did.
And Tommy was okay with it.
Yeah, he was fine. I won't keep you any longer. Agnes is PMing me, telling me I need to mute my channel and stuff. So,
okay.
Hugs to you, my friend.
Hugs to you, Peter. And you know what, man? Let's do it again real soon.
Will do.
All right, man.
Good night.
Good night. Have a great show. Break a leg, my friend.
Thank you.
And that was Peter Godbold. His show comes on after this show in about 10 minutes or so here on the Head On Radio Network. Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold. I think you will thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy his show. It's definitely a fresh perspective on the day's events. And, you know, it's definitely a show that I enjoy listening to. We're getting right toward the end of this show, and I guess I wanted to... my propensity in radio has always been that I try to leave you with a positive message. In every show that I've ever done on this network, I always try to, in the last 10 minutes of the show, you know, bring you a little bit of light, a little bit of something positive. You know, we do our ranting and our raving. We talk about the greed, and we talk about the thievery, and we talk about the sheer stupidity of the Bush administration and of the Republicans all night long. And I don't want to leave you with the idea that all is lost. I don't want to leave you with the idea that there is no hope, because there is hope. You are the hope. You who are listening to this radio program, whether you're listening to it live or via podcast or via the White Rose Society or, you know, in any capacity that you are listening to this show, each of you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to try to create, as I said earlier in the radio program, to try to create change in the world you live in. I'm in North Carolina. Here in the city that I live in, you know, there's all sorts of gentrification of property where poor folks have been given the boot in favor of the rich folks because the tax base is important, isn't it? I've demonstrated against the war. I've demonstrated against all sorts of things. I put my freedom on the line for my freedom. And why I've done that is not because I'm a rabble-rouser or a rebel or any of those things, and maybe I am all of those things, but not that's not the reason why. The reason why is because I believe that if I do not avail myself of the freedoms that this country has promised me, I am saying to those people who gave me those freedoms that the blood that they shed to create this nation was in vain. I'm saying to my children that you can participate in democracy as long as you've got the money. I'm saying to those who love me that their freedom isn't worth me standing up and speaking out. If I don't avail myself of the rights that I have that are protected under the Constitution of this country. So I do. I speak out. I write a blog for headonradionetwork.com. I had a radio program. I started a radio program back when, you know, I didn't know what else to do, but I wanted to do something. Because I believe I was led, you know, I believed that I had to do something. I had to do something because this country was going to hell in a handbasket and nobody seemed to be paying attention. So I started a program. And guess what? People got attracted to the program, and then it grew out from there. And you know what? The best part of that wasn't fame or any of that stuff. I really don't care about that. What I care about, deeply care about, is motivating another human being to take responsibility for the world that they live in. We get up and we go to work every day, and we do our 40 hours a week or 60 or however many it is that you work. I work a lot of hours because, you know, I feel good when I work. I believe in hard work. I also believe in good pay. And I don't always have the time to go up to the federal building here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and stand out there on Monday afternoons between 5 and 6 and demonstrate against the Iraq War. You know, but when I do have the time, I go do that. When I do have the time, I get out there and I do what I can do to provide impetus for the conversation. You know, it's not about what I do. It's about me saying to you, you can do it too, because you're also a citizen. You're also a member of this country. You're also someone who can go out and stand and hold a sign. You're also a person who can write a letter to the editor. You're also a person who could probably have your own radio show right here on this network, because, you know, it is radio of, by, and for the people. And so I would challenge you, absolutely challenge you, to take a risk tomorrow. Risk being the living embodiment of democracy. Risk going out there and raising your voice. Risk having a conversation with somebody you don't even know and let them know how you really feel about this president or this war or the Congress or any of these things that I've talked about tonight. Because if, you know, without the risk, we don't get the rewards, do we? Without the risk, we don't get the opportunity to see that we've made a change in the world. 2.5 years ago, in July of 2004, was it four or five? I don't remember. Four, five, I don't know. Anyway, point being is that two years ago, I started a little radio program because I wanted to do something to help change the conversation. I linked up with another kindred spirit, and this network was born. And now there's over 12 hours every day of live liberal progressive programming on this network that anyone can tune into at work or at home or wherever they are. to hear people talk about the things they believe in. So, you know, I certainly hope that that you'll take this challenge and that you'll go forward and you will say, you know what, just for today, just for this day, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to stretch a little bit. I'm going to try to move forward the political conversation in this country. Your children deserve it. My children deserve it. You know, our forefathers, blah, blah, blah. I can say it again, but I'm not going to. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a wonderful evening sharing this with you. I will be back here tomorrow night sitting in this very same chair. Actually, right now I'm standing up walking around. But I will be back here tomorrow night to share some more time with you here on the Head On Radio Network. My name is Bruce Birch. I've been sitting in for Bob Kincaid tonight. Peter Godbold is up next. I want to thank all of the folks who are involved in the Head On Radio Network. Every single one of you people have made a difference in the world. Every single one of you. And you rock. You absolutely rock because of it. I'm really grateful today to have been a part of your life. And I'll be back here tomorrow to do some more ranting, to do some more raving, to talk about some more things, to bring about, you know, hopefully bring about some change. Because that's what it's all about, right? It's not always about the problem. It is about the solution. And you know what, folks? I have always closed every other show that I've ever done with. I'll leave you with one final statement. And that is, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. So go out and get involved. You deserve it, and your children do as well. This has been Bruce Birch for the Head On Radio Network, sitting in for Bob Kincaid. Glad to be with you. And I'll also leave it with one more too, and that is RMR, it's all for you. Have a good night. Stay tuned for Peter Godbold coming up next.
This is the Quality News Network. The Federal Reserve lowered its overnight interest rate by half a point to 4.75%, sending the Dow to its biggest gain in 5 years and sparking euphoria in the global markets. It's the first time the Fed cut rates in more than 4 years. Though analysts expected a cut, they thought it would be only a quarter point. We'll have the market numbers coming up in our business segment. Excuse me. Banks are expected to lower their prime lending rates. Some already have. In light of the drop in the federal funds rate, most adjustable rate mortgages and many credit cards pivot on the federal funds rate. Analysts call it a bold move to try and slow some of the bad effects from the credit crunch and to spark some growth over the long term. All American civilians working in Baghdad have been confined to the safety zone because if they left, they'd have no security detail. Iraqi officials are reviewing the status of all private security firms operating in the region after mercenaries employed by private U.S. security firm Blackwater were accused of killing 8 civilians and an Iraqi policeman in a Baghdad gun battle on Sunday. The Blackwater soldiers are claiming self-defense as they guarded a convoy of U.S. State Department officials they were hired to protect. National Intelligence Chief Michael McConnell told Congress today that China and Russia are spying on the U.S. He says the nation needs laws legalizing domestic surveillance to protect the country from those traditional enemies. President Bush's nomination for Attorney General is receiving bipartisan praise. The president's choice is retired New York Judge Michael Mukasey. The Senate must confirm Mukasey before he can fill the position vacated by Alberto Gonzalez. A group of women are petitioning the King of Saudi Arabia on Sunday for the right to drive. Analysts say the women's demands will likely be